When I was younger, one of the wonderful things that I really enjoyed about Christmas was this idea that you could ask Santa for anything you wanted. And very likely you would get what you wanted. But more than that, it was acceptable. It was even encouraged to ask for a lot. To make a list of all the things you might possibly want. And that was all right. And I think of that because all of us in our own ways all want something from Jesus. We all want something. We want hope. We want assurance. We want comfort. We want the promises of Jesus in the face of all the uncertainties and unknowns in our lives. We want relief. We want resources that will assist us as we live our lives. We want because of the lack of the things we want. We all want something from Jesus. And I think of that of the question that is asked by John the Baptist through his disciples. Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another? Because John wants something. Not just for the people or the nation of Israel, but I think that for John, it is somewhat personal. For Jesus to be this long-expected Messiah, he's not really doing those things that had been anticipated. And so John the Baptist comes from a period of time that was built upon certain expectations that the Messiah would be the one who would come and fulfill God's will as seen in the Old Testament and through the words of the prophets. During John's ministry and his preaching at the Jordan River, he was the one who talked about the Messiah who would come with a winnowing fork in hand, separating wheat and chaff on the threshing floor, and by doing so, promising the fulfillment of Israel. Sometime later, John had sent his disciples to Jesus. The message that his disciples brought this time was that they questioned Jesus' not keeping of the Torah properly. They questioned Jesus' befriending the outsiders and the outcasts. The disciples of John the Baptist even sided with the Pharisees in this case. Now, as we know, the Pharisees were often the focus of conflict with Jesus. But they asked Jesus about following the practices of fasting. They said, "We do it. The Pharisees do it. Why don't you?" Why would Jesus be excluding all of those? Be including all those who had been excluded in the past. And now the question from John was maybe more of a challenge for him to act. John is in the midst of a theological squabble, a moral struggle with Herod Antipas. Spoke against Herod, and because of that is now imprisoned and will later be executed. And so the question then asked is, are we to wait for another? May pique our interest because John does not have much longer to wait. John has a personal stake. He has an investment that the expected Messiah would act. The hope of John would be that the Messiah would come and topple Herod from the throne and become king, then pass judgment against the chaff and then lead to a time of restoration and renewal. But the script of Jesus was far different. Jesus responds to John's disciples by saying, "Tell John what you hear and what you see." The role of Jesus is a different story. Matthew emphasizes how Jesus had been teaching and preaching, sharing His Word with the people throughout the countryside. And the questions now are a result of the people considering Jesus' actions and deeds without truly hearing His words. For we can only understand the deeds and the actions by understanding the words. During this time of year, it's often very busy for many families. It was particularly for a couple who is preparing for the arrival not only of the Christmas season, but the visitors and family members as well. Being that both of them worked full-time jobs, they only had the weekends to get all their tasks and their chores done. So the idea was to make a list of everything that needed to be done. So after the first couple of weekends, they looked at the husband's list, and there were all of these things not yet crossed off of the list. Looked at the wife's list, and each and every item was crossed off. When she was questioned about this, she said, Well, first of all, I do the chore or the task. Then I write it down. Then I cross it off. And so the deeds alone don't necessarily tell the entire story. And so we have to pay attention to the message of Jesus, the words that He speaks. For Jesus comes from a history and a tradition, as well as John the Baptist, where rebellious periods of God's people have called for a need of restoration, for God to hit the reset button in their relationship. You could see it in a way in which there is a time of sinfulness or separation from God, a brokenness in the relationship that resulted in a form of punishment and then renewal and new beginnings. When you hear the message of Jesus and the words that He speaks, when you read about His teachings and all that He illustrates, it shows that the healing, the restoration, the renewal is already taking place. The healing that would traditionally follow the punishment. For Jesus, in His heart and in His mind, and perhaps Himself only knows, that He has already assumed the punishment of God's people. By His blood, He will take on the punishment by His sacrifice. And therefore, as Jesus teaches and shares His message, shares the good news, it is already a time of mercy and grace and acceptance, move directly from a time of sinfulness to a time of renewal and restoration and rebirth. The message of Jesus is important and must be understood. It's important to understand the words and the story. I want you to imagine one DNA and another DNA. Got that in your mind? Probably not, but go go along with me here. One DNA says to the other, "Do these jeans make me look fat?" So perhaps you picture the one DNA wearing her Levi's. Or perhaps you recognize how genes determine one's body shape. Understanding the words that go along with the picture John the Baptist is not a part of this understanding that Jesus is already introducing. John the Baptist will never know the impact of the cross. The cross being the full revelation of God's love. The cross is representing forgiveness and renewal, restoring relationship. In our own day, in our own societies, and even in our own congregations, there are many who live without the cross, it seems, that focus on punishing. Tragically, from time to time, it may be punishing oneself. More likely, it could be punishing others, excluding them. Too often in our day, we lose sight of the cross and focus on punishment. But we are not a people of punishment. We are past the punishment. But we are a people of restoration who are embraced by grace. And we are to be part of this living kingdom. And yes, continue time after time to take of Jesus, to want from Jesus, who is the giver of life, the giver of the gift of rebirth. Amen.